Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it's Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, purveyor of all that is geeky and ready to share my insight, knowledge, and otherwise obtuse view of the geek world at large. Yeah, I have no idea where that was going. Yeah, I kind of fell out there at the end. Yeah, you're right. Anyway, we're back. We got lots of stuff going on. Lots of messages coming through. And we are happy to share them with you. I'm happy to share them with you. We'll sit down. We'll have a chat. We'll see how long this goes because there's stuff out there, again. But it's weird because there's news, but there's not. There's rumors, but there's not. Everything's in the air. It's craziness. And it's the election day. Again. Anyway, we are sponsored by Suzy Q's, the crafter of everything that is beautiful and wonderful that will decorate your body, make your earrings, your ears stand out with earrings that no one else will ever have because they're that unique. They're wonderful. Check them out. Go to SuzyQs.com. Check her out on Facebook and her Instagram page. Get your Christmas orders in now because I was looking at the calendar like 2 weeks. And boom, Thanksgiving. And it doesn't take long for Christmas to follow. Suzy actually creates all of her product herself. She is a blacksmith, a legitimate dyed-in-the-steel wool blacksmith. This woman could make you armor. So when the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm going to go get Suzy and head to the hills. I will come down in full armor. I wonder if she can make plate mail. I've never asked her that question. I really should. I want to. Suzy, do you make plate mail? Just wondering. What else is going on? So, the world of geek has gone really like awry, like really out there. So, the one of the things, and I haven't gotten the full story yet, but as of just a moment ago, this just handed to me. One of the first dates for next year's Comic-Con, C2E2, which is a personal favorite, because, of course, Chicago, great food, great environment, have been there multiple times, and, of course, going back, have announced that they want to do this year's con December 10th through the 12th of 2021. So this is kind of odd for them, because in all of the years that I have gone to C2E2, they are a beginning of the year con. They're usually Easter, spring, March, usually April-ish for the con. In fact, they were the last con I went to this year before everything decided to burn. So it's really strange to see them. I mean, obviously, they're ahead of the ball with everyone else thinking, okay, there's no way we're going to be in, you know, Q1, Q2 for cons, so maybe we just shoot for the end. But it looks like everyone is kind of pushing into the second quarter for cons, so it's difficult to say how they came to this decision, and this being one of the more, I don't want to say prevalent cons, but I mean, this is a big one. They are sizable. They fill the Rosemont Center completely, and we'll see. I'm really curious to see how this story evolves. But like I said, this just got handed to me by our crack staff here at the Figgis Studios. We do have some changes coming for the new year, and I'm excited to bring this to you guys because new format, new stuff, new highlights. Of course, some of the fun stuff that we always do, but there will be some new elements to introduce you guys to into the new year. So we'll finish this out, and we'll start fresh and creative for 2021 and our sixth year. So kind of excited about that as well. The 5280 team has grown, evolved, changed. So thanks for sticking with us. Give us a like, give us a share. More than a podcast, we are a way of life. We are the Weekend Geek Update. And why not get to those updates? And the big one that is, like, really on my mind is what in the flying fuck went on with Harry Potter World? So evidently, there was a whole lot of fallout from a judge's decision about Johnny Depp being labeled a wife beater by the Sun Times, which is a publication in England. So Depp files charges against him, defamation of character. Long story short, the judge decided in the favor of the magazine, of the newspaper. So Depp loses, and out of this comes Warner Brothers basically asking Johnny Depp to step down from his role as Grindelwald from the last two films. So, okay. I mean, he's kind of the main antagonist. I mean, this would be like asking, you know, Snape to step down. I mean, this is just like, okay, not that I'm really worried for Johnny Depp. He still gets paid, regardless of what happens in all of this. Warner Brothers is still on the hook for his $10 million salary, since he has already done some filming, and since Warner Brothers is asking him to step down, they are still responsible for his $10 million salary. Now, what do they do about Grindelwald? Now, they've decided that they of course, go after their first character who played Grindelwald. Well, it wasn't really Grindelwald, but it was Colin Farrell, who was basically being impersonated by Johnny Depp. Yeah, I know. Spoilers. But he played Percival Graves in the 2016 franchise when Fantastic Beasts started. But because of everything that's going on with the Batman filming, because Colin Farrell is Penguin, he's Cobblepot, he can't break away to go film this and do Batman at the same time. Okay. So I don't know what's going to happen. I know a lot of people are kind of on the fence, and I personally really did like Fantastic Beasts, the first one. The second one, yes, you've heard us go back and forth with everybody that it was just kind of, you know, hodgepodgey, mishmashy, and just really out there. So more time. I mean, they're still saying that they're going to release the film in 2022 somehow, some way, but who do you get if you can't have Colin Farrell? And I honestly liked his character a lot more than I liked Johnny Depp's Grindelwald. I really did. So what does this mean? I mean, this is almost like, you know, when the actor playing Dumbledore passed away and they had to change everything. So they had to reshape the character. So maybe the same will happen here with Johnny Depp. It's really difficult to say, and maybe even too soon. Maybe Warner Brothers will kind of come back to their senses and let Depp finish this out. I mean, you're going to pay the guy. You might as well get the work. That's just my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong. But all in all, I think that we will be hearing more on this story as it progresses and as everything goes on. And of course, I know everyone is out there ready to go throw stones at one particular female. So, oh well, it is what it is. Not my life, but it's fun to watch from the outside. Moving along, also in movie news, and again, on the rumor side, of course, everybody is curious, is there still the potential for a sequel to, I guess the film has now started to like actually gather more fans after the theatrical release, and that's Solo. Everyone is really kind of clamoring for more. And I honestly think it's just because of Solo. Everybody loves Han Solo. Let's face it. He's the more, you know, warm and... I hate to say warm. But, yeah, everyone kind of loves the scoundrel. Everyone loves the scoundrels. And there are a lot of potential... I mean, the way they left that film, there's a lot of potential just left kind of hanging in the balance of, okay, what happens? So Ron Howard was on a talk show, and they were talking about the potential of, is there a Solo film? Because I guess everything so far, Solo has ended up grossing $393.2 million worldwide. Holy crap. I can't talk today. So I mean, it by no shape was a failure, and I think what Ron Howard did coming in at halftime, trying to piece, you know, the story together, not being able to do a lot of what he wanted to probably do, would I think benefit the ability for him to come in and do the second act. Let him do it. Let's find out. But as of right now, there is nothing going on when it comes to Solo. They like the idea. However, there is no nothing there. let's see, where is it? So basically, they're saying even though on money, Solo didn't make enough money, which I think is kind of silly. But I don't know, $393.2 million? That's a lot of cheddar. But Disney Plus has not said whether they're going to go ahead. But let's face it, Disney Plus has got a lot going on between the Marvel franchises. What are they going to do for Star Wars franchises? I think we may just kind of see Solo just left where it is, and if they decide to expand on it, potentially. But right now, Ron Howard says there's nothing in the works, there's nothing in paper, nothing is down for a revisit to Solo, even though I love Donald Glover as Lando. I would love to see a Lando story. What happened to Lando between him losing the Falcon, and how did he end up in Cloud City and Bespin? That's perfectly acceptable. There's a lot of story there. Lots of characters in Star Wars. Yes, I know we all get warm and fuzzy about the ones we know and all comfortable, but this I would like to see the Lando story. That would actually be very, very fun. But we'll see. But maybe, perhaps. It's so difficult to tell nowadays. Also in Star Wars news, and the best news, The Mandalorian. No spoilers, but some kind of fun side stories, and this week's episode was just wow. So creepy. Monsters, spiders, things that go snappy snappy in the night. Cause the concept art that I've seen for these creatures were even more just like scarier in hell than what we actually got in the show. So I actually even thought about if I could find the original concept art for the monsters of this week. Definitely buy that one and put that up. But the episode itself was very, very Baby Yoda focused, which is awesome. And I love the attention that they are giving to the child, to little Baby Yoda, and just his really unique personality. He has to be the hungriest little thing I have ever seen. And I don't want to say he's just like any other kid and wants to stick everything in his mouth, but it really is starting to look like if he can eat it, he's going to try it. And his tastes, he definitely loves frogs. That's all I can say. And there's a theory that has been brought to my attention that maybe Baby Yoda can unhinge his jaw, because there's no way that he could eat that egg with just the little itty bitty mouth that he's got. I think it's kind of gelatin, and you slurp it in like you would anything else, like Jell-O. But maybe I'm wrong. Give me your input, because I'd be curious to find out. He did crunch that spider up pretty good. But actually, the true story that caught my eye out of the recent issue of The Mandalorian was the X-Wing pilot that was with Dave Filoni. Because this guy, actually, Paul Sun-Hoon Lee, is a cosplayer. I have actually met Paul at a con. He's done a lot of Star Wars. He's part of the 501st. In addition to, I've actually run into him in Ghostbuster gear, where I have met him from. So to see him as an X-Wing pilot was kind of like, that's freaking awesome. So then again, you know, Favreau and the team reaching out to the fans, the lovers, to help bring this world to life. But the story gets even deeper than that, because as I was watching the show, I sat there and I kind of scratched my head, because the helmet did look particularly familiar. And come to find out, I was actually a much bigger dork than I thought I was, because it is. It's an actual helmet that was worn by Biggs Darklighter out of Episode 4. So I am, and this is confirmed, actually, because I saw a couple articles pop up in an interview with Lee. Just basically, he got to have a lot of input on his suit, his flight suit for the X-Wing. And I'm like, I want to do that. I mean, what fan wouldn't love the ability to just kind of, I mean, of course, he gets to sit in an X-Wing. It's a modified one from the Rogue One film, so that's where the X-Wings have come from. But the chance to really sit and play dress up, I mean, this is like a dream come true for any fan. And Lee just actually even got to help design some of the parts for the costume, because I guess they were having some difficulty, and him being the accomplished cosplayer that he is, was able to help them fabricate parts and the necessary items for his X-Wing suit. So it's kind of fun. And of course, to see Dave back in as a X-Wing pilot is just humorous to me, because, you know, he's an animator, he's a director. I don't think he wants to be in an X-Wing, but I'm sure Favreau talked him into it. But it's really fun to see how they're shaping the Mandalorian world, and everyone's now trying to figure out how this whole story is going to fit with the timeline. And oh my God, so a lot of the fan service has absolutely been, you know, what? How does Baby Yoda get into Skywalker's hands? Because he's the one that starts the academy again. And I mean, there's so many fan theories out there. I'll be very curious to see how this all works out, but so far the storytelling, the visual effects, everything. I mean, even seeing little Baby Yoda walk through the snow and go running, and of course eating eggs, is just, I mean, so well done. It does my little geek heart good to just see. If you haven't watched it, hopefully I haven't spoiled it for you, but check it out, for sure worth watching. This week, I've already watched it twice. I couldn't help it, and the spiders are awesome, so cool. In other streaming news, jumping the channel, we're heading over to Netflix, and actually, this is even a news. This is no surprise, and I even know when I spoke about it that this was already going to happen. But officially, Umbrella Academy Season 3 has been announced. They're going to start production in February for filming to get a whole new 10 episodes out to everybody. And it looks like the entire cast is returning. And like I said, we are heading into kind of unknown territory. We've departed from the comics. I mean, in some aspects we have departed from the comics, but just all in all, you know, the Sparrow Academy, how does that break down? Who are the members of the Sparrow Academy? That's the big question. Who are they, and what do they want? And just, oh, I'm so excited about this. I mean, without a doubt, it is probably, I don't want to, I'd have to say it. It is Netflix's best series. It's one of the best shows. The integration of music to the movie, just how it all flows, the character development. I mean, all in all, there's no one I don't like. I mean, there's characters that I hate, but I love the characters. I love the portrayal. I love everything that has gone into Umbrella Academy from beginning to end, and I'm a fan. I can't help it. And it's far better than the comic. I mean, we really, when you try to compare, you know, shows to comics, of course, everyone right away immediately goes to Walking Dead. And at first, you know, Walking Dead had everyone captivated and all that. I really think the production value and the time and the care that they have put into Umbrella Academy is way better than Walking Dead. Yeah, I said it. Just think about that for a second. I honestly think Umbrella Academy is a better crafted and cared for film, series, show, all of it. It's just for different reasons, of course. I mean, you can't really compare them, but it's I'm really hard pressed to find something better. I mean, of course, I know right away you're thinking, but what about Stranger Things? Stranger Things is great and for where it is, but it's an original property. It's something that, you know, someone else thought up of. At least this is based off of a comic, and I'm all for inventive, and don't get me wrong, huge fan of Stranger Things. Love them, great. But I just really feel a strong pull towards Umbrella Academy. I don't know what it is. It really resonates well with me, and I think that it is. That's the fact with a lot of the fans, and I think it has grown, and more people are really on board with it. Now the question is, what is season 3 going to look like? Does all hell break loose? Alternate timeline? Do they try and fix the timeline? Are we trying to avoid another world-ending crisis? Yeah, then it gets kind of repetitive. I get it. I'm with you. I agree. I'm sure that they're not going to fall for the same traps that other series and shows have happened. But this is, I'm curious to see. I'm very excited. But, of course, like I said, no surprise. Season 3, it's on the way. Also in Netflix news, and this is a project that has struggled in so many stages, because this isn't the first time that this has been rumored or talked about. In fact, I can remember two different instances where this almost was a news story for us, but I decided to skip it and just wait to see what happened, because the fallout always end up scrapping it. But the Gorillaz, yes, that's right, you heard me correctly, the Gorillaz, the band, it has an animated movie that's happening at Netflix. And this is something the band has struggled with for multiple years. I guess they're already working on season 2, and they're trying to create more content to bring out. And this is what they said. This is a direct quote. "Well, we are supposed to be making a film while we're doing season 2 of Song Machine. We signed contracts, we've begun scripts and stuff." I don't know what stuff is, but it's stuff. "Making an animated film that's kind of abstract is quite a big risk for a movie studio because they're very expensive. No shit. If you're telling a slightly obtuse story that only sometimes makes any sense, it's quite difficult. That's what we've discovered. We will do it. We are doing it. I see a lot of people doing animated videos these days, but I don't think they really touch the quality of ours." So this is going to be comprised of all of the Gorillaz characters that we have seen on the screen when the band first came out, the virtual band members, which consist of Russell Hobbs, Mordek Nichols, I think that's his name, 2D and Noodle. I think that's them all. That's stretching my own personal memory right there. So and I'm excited to see this. I do love the characters. I love the whole premise behind gorillas. You know, the band members unable to expose their identities for one reason or another, whether it's band lore, whether it's, you know, just something to give to the masses, whether it's contracts, because, you know, that can get in the way. So they go on to further say, we have an agreement to make a movie with Netflix. I guess we will have to finish the second season, and there will be time to finally be able to release the Gorillaz movie. Fingers crossed. I guess they've been working on this, if I'm correct, since 2003? So we'll see. The show has yet to materialize and show up, so I don't know what they're all working on, but I know that animation takes a lot of time, and it's a great payoff, but damn, it's a lot of work. And who knows what they have in store for us. I don't know if it's going to be more of like, you know, Pink Floyd the Wall or Fritz the Cat, or, you know, exactly what are we in store for when he's saying that it's kind of abstract. So abstract in what sense? Just because of the art style, because of the format? Are we going to see a musical cartoon? Maybe. Who knows? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get a couple of songs, or they're working on an album to complement the show, the movie. I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts in this story, and I'm curious. Radio.com actually is the one that had posted this up that caught my eye. So I'm really kind of curious to see what they produce, and if the artist style stays within the vein that they have for the videos and the caricatures, I'm on board for that. I really like the style. So we'll see. Just give it some time. A little bit of time. That's all we ask. In the meanwhile, throw on a Gorillaz album. Like, what was it? Is it Clint Eastwood? Is that their first song? I think so. Yeah, Clint. Yeah, that's it. what else? Oh, another animated news. Oh, and this goes along with my other stories that I've been keeping you apprised of, but the Doctor Who Time Lord Victorious comic book series has been running, but there's a very interesting series, and I didn't know if I really wanted to talk about this, but the more I see the animation, the more I'm getting like hooked on it. But episode 1 of the animated series Daleks premieres Thursday, November 12th at 6 p.m. on youtube.com, and that's General Mountain Time. The trailer that I had seen was great. It was cryptic, though, because you just see a bunch of Daleks flying around in space. So I didn't really think. I was like, okay, fine. It looked interesting, but nothing I really wanted to talk about, because it's just Daleks flying in space. So not a whole lot of story, except for the fact that it's supposed to tie into Time Lord Victorious. So now we get a little bit more on it. And how this ties into Time Lord Victorious is a very good question. And are we going to see animated Doctors in this series on YouTube? I know that the BBC has done a few revitalizations of the Second Doctor in animated form, and they've actually looked and sound great. The last couple ones that have been on the BBC America, really, you know what, it was awesome. It really was. I loved every moment of, and it felt like, it really did feel like the old school Doctor Who with the bubble wrap monsters. And I mean, it's just kind of quirky. They move blocky, but it has a unique feel to it that it's difficult to put into words. In fact, watching the cartoon characters move, it reminds me of like watching a Muppet walk. Because they just kind of, like, you know, bounce up and down. There's no real, like, good fluid motion. So it's fun to watch. Like I said, it has its own kind of charm, like, you know, the Doctor Who monsters of old. It's just kind of unique in its own way. But the stories are still fun, and it's still kind of, you know, reminiscent of the past. But with the new series and Time Lord Victorious, a lot of the books have hit, which are stellar reads. Oh my God, the series is getting better and better, and how it's integrating a bunch of the different media and everything that's going on. The comic book series is only up to issue 2. I don't want to ruin anything, and I don't even know where it's going to go yet, because there's just so much involved with this overlapping media story giant. I mean, I can't believe the time that they put into figuring this all out and how they were going to do it and execute it is impressive. It's inspiring that they would take this kind of approach to Doctor Who and integrate all of the different aspects of the media. So what they pull out next and what this Daleks cartoon is going to be is extremely ambiguous. It's just kind of, like I said, the trailer is them just kind of floating around, and they're coming for Earth. We don't know when. We don't know who or exactly who. Doctor Who. There's just like a lot going on. So I for one on Thursday know what I'm going to be doing, because oh damn, football. Not a game I care about. That's okay. Daleks wins. what else is going on? Oh, hey. This, I'm happy, I'm pissed, and, well, alrighty then. A few months ago, we broke the news. We didn't break it, but we reported on, sorry, I should get my terminology correct. We reported on Ernest Cline coming back to the Ready Player One universe with the follow-up Ready Player Two. And the book is evidently done, and they are conducting a virtual tour. Starting Tuesday, November 24th, they're going all over the place. We've got book people in Austin, Texas, Waterstone in the UK, Joseph Beth Booksellers in Cincinnati, The Stand in New York, which is a mind-blowing bookstore, Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon, and Bookline Booksmith in partnership with the Wilburn in Boston, Massachusetts. They are doing like different events for the big screen and all of that that they'll announce. But to get info, if you go to readyplayer2.com, or if you're on the Twitter at readyplayer2, it looks like they have more announcements and more stuff going on listed there. But, and this starts in November 24th and goes into December 8th. So the 25th, the 30th, 3rd, 7th, and 8th. And I'm hoping that they add more locations. So I'm not sure what this looks like if he's in these bookstores, or you have to go to these bookstores to watch the event and they'll take questions, or and it's basically they're like, join Ernest Cline in a conversation. So it is interesting, because I mean the virtual tour thing has gotten so like, some people have done it well, some people haven't done it well, and it just kind of overlaps in different sections and areas of well and poorly planned and executed ideas. So I'm excited to see what the book is. Let's get that out of the way. I'm wondering how Ernest is going to revisit this world after, you know, the Oasis has been restructured and Wade is essentially in charge, and what's left? Do we explore further into the world? Is there another treasure hunt? Because, I mean, that was just kind of the allure of the first one, is the hunt to save the Oasis and this dystopian world that it lived in. So what is the story? Is it years afterwards and what's happened? Has everything fallen out? Or what's the next phases after taking over? So I'm very intrigued by the thought of another book and what Ernest has got up his sleeve. But go to ReadyPlayer2.com. See where the virtual tour. I'm hoping it's actually at these locations, so you can go, you can ask questions, and you can get a copy of the book. Hopefully, they've had the foresight to have editions shipped ahead of time, so people can sit down, read it, or have excerpts read, and they get a signed copy. Because that's really what we're after, isn't it? We're all about getting signed copies. In other virtual news, there actually is a reunion that is happening, and I really can't wait to watch this. Family Ties Reunion is actually happening November 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everybody is in on this, including our friend and pal, Brian Bonsale, who is a friend who we've hung out with and who will be on the show later on into the new season. He's also going to be with Colorado Festival of Horror as one of our guests. But he's going to be on there, including Michael J. Fox, Meredith Baxter Burney, Michael Gross, Tina Yothers. I didn't even know this was going to happen. Evidently, this is going to be live on People Magazine, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as on People's TVs. And I guess it's going to be on starsinthehouse.com. So they're going to do kind of the reunion. I don't know if it's going to be like a whole lot of Q&A or what, but I'm, you know, this is like right out of the 80s right here. This is the deep 80s. Can't wait. So if you got nothing going on tonight, this is absolutely something worth tuning in for and watching. Yeah, absolutely. So, and if you're not like a huge Family Ties fan, Michael J. Fox is always fun to listen to as he's telling stories. And Michael Gross has got the new Tremors. Yeah, Tremors is still going. Movie on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet. It's in my queue. I just can't watch it. I want to, but I'm just like, all right, fine. What else? In video game news, Xboxes have landed, and it is glorious. It's a big freaking console is what it is. It's a big black box, and very happy with it. But again, this is the challenge of always getting a new console, is what games are available when you get it. So as pretty as it looks, there's a bit of a limit on what you can play on it. So as much as you want to play with your new toy, you can't. So I'll hold judgment on just exactly how cool the Xbox X is, and we'll revisit this. But if you're looking forward to it, it's been 2 months in the waiting, and now it is here. Da, 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 da. Go down to your stores, check it out. I think GameStop still had like a few. Not all of them were tied up with pre-orders, so I think a lot of people were waiting to actually see them hit and when they would hit. So they're here, they're out. Go get one and enjoy. What else? In other video game news, I know people are streaming the Call of Duty game already and excited to jump on that. And yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like a weird lull in everything as we kind of approach the last half of the season. Christmas is, people are already putting up Christmas lights. It's November. We haven't even had Thanksgiving yet, but since people are at home and forced to shelter in again because of spikes in the Rona, I guess you got nothing better to do but hang Christmas lights and drink whiskey. And probably drinking more whiskey than hanging lights. Just a thought. Oh, what else? That kind of wraps this week. I mean, this makes it kind of a short week. It's a simple podcast. I apologize. I know usually we have something more to cover, but these are the hot spots, and I don't want to miss the chance to go in depth over them. But, yeah, so there you go. Give us a like, give us a share. If you've got comments or questions or something that's on your mind, by all means, please shoot us a message. We are always standing by to assist you in your geekly needs. In the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.